all sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. Excuse me for a second. Alexa, turn off. I had to be cool there just for you guys. All right. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so there was a new one that popped up over there this morning. If you haven't swung over there to see what's going on, when you get the chance, go ahead. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find me, the Big Jack, on Twitter at Burke Time, and you can find Dan the Man at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
Oh, all right, Dan. Well, you know, this is kind of an I don't know if you want to call it interesting or odd or just kind of weird situation, but, you know, the Bears lost their defensive coordinator today. Vic Fangio got the Denver Broncos head coaching job. But he got the head coaching job without, I guess you would want to say, almost any real power or structure to it, because he got the job, but John Elway is going to be picking the coaching staff. And I guess when Fangio went into the meeting, he agreed to this. Now, you know, he's 60 years old. He's never had a head coaching job. Do you think maybe he was willing to trade this off just to get that opportunity? And do you agree or disagree, or how do you look at this?
Well, I didn't realize he was that old. So, but, I mean, at this point, why not? You've got the head coaching job, and while, you know, his part of it, he could take the blame for when he loses, but for the rest of it, you know, Elway, you know, takes the blame.
Yeah, because, you know, it seems really interesting, because, like, I've been wondering from the, you know, for the well, basically since maybe mid-season, you know, the season, you know, close to the end of the season, how long before people were going to start pointing fingers at Elway, because, you know, he's a Bronco great. You know, I mean, he's probably the best player in team history. You know, they got a couple Super Bowls with him, but, you know, as a general manager, let's face it, what a failure. I mean, there's absolutely no other way to look at it. So, you know, does this give him, you know, I don't know, more, even more ground to fail? I mean, if this doesn't work out, or, you know, the team really begins to struggle even more, you know, obviously Fangio will be the guy who gets canned, but, you know, how safe is Elway now that basically, I mean, this team is basically the Dodgers. All he's got to do is start calling plays and win.
Well, I mean, doesn't it – I don't think he's going to call it plays, but with that, doesn't he just take the blame for anything that goes wrong?
Well, I was being, you know. So, I guess, you know, what I'm kind of looking for, how much more do they take until they just say, you know, John, I get it. You're the best player we ever had, but you got to go. So –
I mean, is it the fan support? If they start losing them, is that when you go that route? I mean, I really don't have an answer for you on that one.
No. Yeah, I, you know, I it's just such a, you know, a different type of situation, because, you know, normally these, you know, these all-time great players don't generally come back to, you know, to take these kind of jobs. You know, they just end up being ambassadors or whatever to the, you know, to the team president or whatever. Like I saw, you know, again, baseball, I saw David Wright is going to serve as the special assistant to the general manager with the Mets, which is a job, you know, a lot of these guys get after they move along. So, but yeah, Elway's there in, you know, in the trenches, and, you know, I guess we'll have to see. So, yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was weird. Now, you know, the other thing I was kind of wondering, I'm sure, you know, knowing fan, you know, fans like the way, you know, we know fans and we are fans and all that stuff. You know, there's probably, you know, some freaking out over the fact that Fangio's left, but do you think it's going to be a huge deal? Because while he is going, the players are still here, so this should still be a great defense, right?
It should be.
You know,
I mean,
you'll make sure
healthy.
Yeah, well, you know, those are the things you just can't control, right? I mean, if, you know, if somebody gets hurt, I mean, that's just one of those things. So, but yeah, I think I believe we're down to just three jobs left. You know, in the NFL, there were quite a few openings, but you know, Arizona, Cleveland, Denver, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay have all been filled. So we're down to Cincinnati, Miami, and the Jets. So we'll have to see. I don't
really
know if. Is there a great job in any of those? I mean, I guess at least the Jets have a young quarterback to work with. But yeah, other than that, I don't know if there's a long line of the one interesting thing I did see is apparently Miami reached out to Baltimore to want to know if they would be interested in trading their head coach John Harbaugh. So I thought that was kind of humorous. I don't remember. I know it's happened, but I just was kind of surprised that it was mentioned. So, you know, I thought that was funny. But yeah, I guess the hot button issue now, Dan, and I, you know, it always kind of drives me nuts when they deal with this is, you know, I mentioned we've had five hires, No minority hires, Dan. Do you think we get a minority hire out of one of these last three jobs? You know, I mean, I've always been kind of the one that it's, you know, whoever the team feels is most qualified. But, you know, there's a big issue with this. I saw somebody saying that, you know, there's only three, I believe, African-American head coaches, while 70% of the league is black. You just can't hire an African American coach because he's African American. I mean, he's got to be qualified. But do you think we get one out of the final three?
Yeah, maybe. You know, a guy looking to prove himself, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tough because you know Mike McCarthy's still floating around out there. You know, the former Packer coach, and he's won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So you know, if he's interested in your job, you really got to kind of take him seriously, don't you?
Yeah, but do you think it's one of those things where McCarthy takes a year off?
You know, I read an article a little earlier that said he's only interested in one job, and I don't know if it's one of the three remaining, so he might be taking a year off.
Well, I was going to say, Belichick's still coaching the Patriots, so...
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, I'm only interested in one job, and it's the New Orleans Saints, and obviously Sean Payton isn't going anywhere. So, you know, I'm going to take a year off. But, you know, and in reality, he probably wouldn't even take a year off because I'm sure one of the networks would hire him, you know, like they do with all these. He held John Fox got a job with the Mickey Mouse Network. after as bad as he was with the Bears. So, you know, I'm sure you'd want, you know, would rather have McCarthy, who's probably has a better record overall. So, but yeah, I don't know. I guess,
I mean,
you know, obviously
I guess,
we'll have to kind of.
I guess that would be an easier question to answer if we knew who was looking.
Yeah, you know, it's always difficult to know, you know, what it, you know, because lately it seems like teams wanted, you know, offensive gurus, so to speak, or I know the hot term now is quarterback whisperer. And, you know, that's what a lot of teams got. You know, Arizona hired Cliff Kingsbury, who coached both Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield in college. The Browns more or less just promoted Freddie Kitchen, and they improved when he took over as offensive coordinator. The Packers got Matt LaFleur, who was the Titans' offensive coordinator, but before that worked with the Rams' offense. And then Tampa Bay brought back Bruce Arians, who retired from Cardinals last year. I believe they saw they had to give up a sixth-round pick to get him. So, you know, and he's an offensive guy. So the only defensive guy getting a job has been Fangio. You know, everybody else has went offense, offense, offense. So you got to figure, and, you know, like with the Jets with a young quarterback, you got to figure they're looking for an offensive mind, right, to develop this guy?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they don't want to get
who knows?
Up any draft picks.
I mean, I'm still surprised the Bengals fired Marvin Lewis after bringing him back so many years when people thought he should have been gone. You know, I thought last year was it for him, and they brought him back for one more. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they decided to fire him with the way the Bengals go. So, yeah, kind of odd, but yeah, that's sadly. I think we're going to be dealing with that for, you know, depending on who gets these jobs. So more fun. So, but you know this. I thought this was kind of interesting. And you know, the Rangers announced some signings today. They signed former, I believe he was the Phillies closer, Genmar Gomez, and Danny Santana, who's been a utility guy. I think he might have been with the Braves last year. They got minor league contract with invites to spring training. But the third signing they made here, Dan, they signed Shelby Miller to a one-year contract. So the Ranger rotation could be, I don't even know how to describe it, kind of interesting. You know, they signed Lance Lynn to a three-year deal. They made the trade with the Cubs for Drew Smyly. They'll get Edison Volquez back from Tommy John surgery. You know, they got Mike Minor was there last year. He's a holdover who pitched pretty well for them down the stretch, but has always had his health issues. And, you know, now they're going to take a look at Shelby Miller, who, you know, at one time looked like a future number one, and then he went to Arizona and just, I don't know what the hell happened. He got in that desert air and all hell broke loose, and now he's a reclamation project. So the Rangers are going to take a look at him on a one-year, did I see $3 million deal? Is that what I saw?
So, I think it was $2 million, and then there's three in incentives.
Yeah, $2 million guaranteed and $3 million in incentives. I guess it's not a bad move, right? I mean, makes some sense.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't spend a whole lot, so if it doesn't work out, then.
You know, and then I guess if it works out, since he's only on a one-year deal, you know, they might be able to turn him around, right, and ship him off.
You think that's what they're looking to do, though?
Well, you know, you wonder, because, like, there's not even an option with this deal. So you do kind of, do kind of wonder what their plans are, right? I mean, you know, because, I mean, if you bring him in and, you know, he has a big year, you know, obviously he's going to become a hot property. It's going to cost a lot more than $2 million. So I'm a little surprised there's not an option, you know, with the, you know, a buyout on the deal just in case. But you might think, I mean, we're kind of looking at the Rangers situation, it might be something they would be willing to do, right?
Yeah, I think it depends on what you can get. But...
yeah, because I don't think they're, you know, the Rangers aren't really swimming in, like, pitching prospect. You know, none of their guys are too highly rated. Of course, then again, that's, you know, that could mean little or nothing depending on how, you know, guys improve. So, but yeah, I just thought it was a, you know, kind of an interesting signing. And, you know, like I said, it's not going to cost them anything to take a look. So, but yeah, you know, they do kind of have an interesting lineup. I didn't realize Sin Shu Chu was there. Did they sign him for like 15 years when he got that deal? But they've got Chu, Odor, Andrew, Mazzara, Gallo, who, you know, hit 40 home runs and strike out 300 times. You know, Ronald Guzman will play full-time at first base. Right now they have Patrick Wisdom listed as the starting third baseman. I don't know if that'll stick. Willie Calhoun is the DH, and then Kiner Flaffel is the starting catcher. They do have the veteran Jeff Mathis on the bench, and then DeShields Jr. is there as well. So they have a pretty solid starting lineup, right? I mean, it's just, can they pitch well enough to compete?
Well, and can they put it all together on the same day?
Yeah, you know, that's always the always the question. And I know they need some bullpen pieces, so it'll be interesting to see how they shuffle the bullpen, because right now they list Jose Leclerc as their closer. I don't know much about him or if he did any closing for them last year, because, you know, they shipped off the one guy to the Pirates and drawn a blank on his name who was closing for them. And then Milwaukee picked up the other guy this offseason, Alex Claudio. So, it's going to be a kind of bullpen. I mean, looking at these names, with the exception of Genmar Gomez and Jesse Chavez, who they re-signed after trading him to the Cubs last year, Dan, I don't know any of the names. Can you tell me anything about Chris Martin, Connor Sadzik, Jeffrey Springs, Kyle Bird, or Jordan Romano, besides the fact that Romano was a Rule 5 from the White Sox?
Well, you forgot about Wei Chi Huang.
Oh, he's not listed on – they must have him in the minors on roster resource. Let me go down and see if I can find him here. Yes, here he is. But, yeah, I mean, they do have Matt Bush, who's currently injured, you know, enlisted in the minor leagues. I assume if he's healthy, he's on the team. You know, he may actually end up being the closer. But I don't know what his injury is. They actually don't, surprisingly, have it listed. So, but, yeah, I don't know, Dan. Is this, you know, the West is kind of an interesting division. I mean, we've got to assume Houston is going to be very good again. But, you know, Oakland kind of came out of nowhere with a really miscellaneous pitching staff. We know Seattle's going in the wrong direction. God only knows what the hell the Angels are doing. You know, I know the Rangers were, you know, way under last year. What were they, 20 games under 500 or something? But,
yeah,
you know,
bad.
Would you be surprised if they turned it around and ended up at, like, 81-81 in third place in this division? And interestingly, I didn't realize they opened against the Cubs this year.
or at home, or?
That I don't know. It doesn't say, but yeah, they
are you
they
sure about that? Because the Cubs open the season.
I'm looking
in Atlanta on April 1st.
Well, what they have here is March 28th. Maybe it's an exhibition game, but they have March 28th, Mike Minor against Bob 30th. They have Lance Lynn against Kyle Hendricks, and the 31st they have Drew Smyly against Jose Quintana. Obviously, these are projected a long way out, but
Maybe that. Well, that's February. Looking at the wrong. Yeah, maybe because they usually do a game in between.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so yeah, it's another one of these teams you kind of look at and, offensively, I would expect them to be pretty good. But yeah, I just don't know if there's pitching. But I thought the Shelby Miller signing was interesting. He's only, he just turned 28, so it's not like, they're not bringing in some, 35, 36 year old reclamation project. So I guess he's going to turn it around as anybody, right?
Yeah. Like you said, maybe the desert heat really got to him. But I mean, if you look at the second year in Atlanta, you're expecting this kid to blow up.
Yeah, that was all the talk. He had a losing record, but obviously, the numbers, the ERA was fantastic. And, it looked like he was on his way. And, that's why the Diamondbacks gave up, what they gave up to get him. It was Dansby Swanson and Ender Inciarte and then Willie Blair. I know they get ripped on a lot for that deal because Miller just didn't do anything there. But to be fair, the only decent guy they've given up so far is Inciarte. I believe Blair got released. Swanson, Swanson hasn't done much in his first couple seasons in Atlanta. So, while the Braves probably win that deal, it's only because of Ender that they win that deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, with the way they talked about Swanson, should have been a major factor in to why they were ruling the East last year, but he wasn't.
Well, he was supposed to be, again, you get, and that's the weird thing about these draft picks, man, is you just don't know. You look at these guys, and they're fantastic in college, and they run into the pro level, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't work out.
Well, and that's the thing, the Diamondbacks got ripped for giving up him, and with the severity that they made it seem, you can no longer say it in that sense. As opposed to they lost out on that deal, though they lost. They were the loser in that deal because of Ender, but the way it was made to see with the amount of prospects they gave up was, so torturous and detrimental to the team that you can't even go that route anymore.
Yeah. But, yeah, it can be tough, just because you're the number one pick in the draft or even, a top pick in the draft doesn't mean – you're going to have success. And, kind of along those lines, I saw that the Mariners are bringing back Dustin Ackley. Now, he was the second pick in the 2009 draft, and he never worked out at all. Before he got a couple small shots with the Yankees, the last 2 years he's been in the minors. So they're gonna give him one more look and see if it if it works out. I mean he's a utility guy now basically, but yeah, I mean again a guy who was the second pick in the draft, allegedly the guys there can't miss and this guy missed. But yeah, here you go, Dan. The first pick, Steven Strasburg. So that was okay.
Oh, wow, that was the 2009 draft?
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was, you know, good old Mike Trout went 20 in that draft.
Who was number three?
Number three was by the Padres. Yeah, if you look at this, this is a really kind of odd draft, because obviously Strasburg is a very talented player, just has some injury issues. You know, Ackley was a bust. I don't even know if Donovan Tate has made it to the major leagues. Tony Sanchez went four to the Pirates. I know he's been up and down a little bit, but, you know, definitely not a number four pick. Number five was a pitcher by the name of Matt Hodgood by the Orioles, another guy I don't think has ever made it to the majors. So, you know, it was definitely an odd top of the draft. I mean, after that, I mean, Mike Leake, Jacob Turner, Drew Storen, these guys have all had stops, you know, in the majors with varying degrees of success. But, yeah, getting a little farther down, I mean, A.J. Pollock went 17, Shelby Miller went 19. Mike Trout was grabbed at 25. James Thompson went 37, but didn't sign. And Brad Closer went 43rd. So, you know, you got to kind of wonder if, you know, unless there's a standout, knockdown, drop-dead number one guy, hell, you might be better off picking a little lower and let these teams go out and make their mistakes, right?
Oh, yeah, and that's why I find it so annoying when they try to hype up and boost the MLB draft like it's the NFL or the NBA.
I got to see here. Oh, okay, well, yeah, Tate got injured. He had sports hernia. He had a sports hernia, broke his jaw, and sprained his shoulder, and then went into substance abuse before he was re-signed by the Padres after the 2015 season. So yeah, he is out of baseball currently,
wow.
And he was the third pick. So, and then Hobgood here, the other guy I didn't know name wise. In 2015, he played with the Joliet Slammers.
Oh, wow. That's by my house.
Yeah. Oddly, though, he ended up on the suspended list in April 16th and never appeared in a game for him. then he announced that he would be switching to he would be giving up pitching and switching to trying to be a batter. They say switching to batting player, which is kind of humorous in the way it's worded. But, yeah, as of 2017, he hasn't signed a contract, and I'm assuming he's out of baseball right now, or he's playing, you know, maybe in one of the smaller leagues somewhere. So,
yeah, well, Joliet's independent.
Yeah. Interested to see if they have anything on him. No, they don't have anything on Hobgood past 2015, so it doesn't look like he played past then. And you know, he was a top five pick, so that's huge. You know, these guys that for whatever reason either look great college or high school or whatever, and you bump them up, and they you know, who knows why they can't do it. So, just kind of weird. I guess if we had the answer, Dan, we could make millions of dollars, right, with being able to tell teams who was going to be hits and who was going to be misses.
I mean, I wish I was just that good in high school to get that minor league draft.
Yeah. Yeah, all you want is that number one draft pick because, you know, you get the big signing bonus and then it – you know, it almost kind of doesn't matter if you work out or not because you're getting a, you know, you're getting a nice solid payday there. But yeah, I, you know, just one of those things. I did see here, Dan, this just came out. Former Cub great Jaime Garcia has announced his retirement.
That's a Cardinal great. He only played with the Cubs for like a week.
I know, but when they play for the Cubs, they're always former Cub greats. You know, just like when I have Mr. Fantasy, everybody's a former White Sox great when we talk about guys like Austin Jackson and stuff. So, you know, that just kind of works out. But, yeah.
Technically, the White Sox have had some of the greatest players in the game way past their prime, but that's another story.
Yeah. You know, that just kind of happens. So, yeah, we, you know, I guess, you know, Hines packing it in, so. But, yeah, you know, he actually did have some pretty good years with the Cardinals. You did mention he was a solid pitcher for them for many years.
Yeah, but it just seemed like the last two seasons just kind of went away from him, crumbled. I don't know how you want to phrase it. But,
yeah,
you know, thinking when the Yankees picked him up, I'm like, oh, man, this is an awesome signing or trade or whatever, however he ended up in pinstripes. I'm like, oh, this is going to be solid for the Yankees. And then, you know, by the time it was coming around to Theo just grabbing for straws, I was like, oh, man, 3-4 years ago, this would have been great.
Yeah, well, you know, two out of his last 3 years in St. Louis were a little rough. He was injured, back in 2014, but he bounced back nicely in 2015. And 2016, a little rough, so they let him go. The Braves picked him up. He wasn't great there.
Oh,
they shipped him off to the Twins. He made one start for the Twins before they shipped him off to the Yankees. But, yeah, that didn't work. He spent some time with Toronto before they released him. And, you know, the Cubs took a look at him. He pitched in 8 games. Was it last year? Yeah, 8 games,
yeah.
7 2/3 in it. So, you know, just, yeah, you know. But, yeah, you know, early on, I mean, he was solid for the Cardinals, you know, a couple 13-win seasons. But, yeah, had some injury issues starting in 2012, and that really looks like that just kind of derailed him, with the exception of that 1 year in 2015 he bounced back. So
it just doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
No, I guess it doesn't. Well, you know, he is only 32.
Yeah.
So a little surprised he walked away, but then I guess you got to wonder, maybe he just didn't have any offers.
Yeah, well, you know, the other side of it, though, too, is you're talking about, was it 2012? Was he part of the World Series? No. When did they win it? Was it 11?
Well, he would have been part of that team. I think it started in 2011. Let me double check and see what they have really quickly.
I believe so, because it's Giants 11 and then 12 Giants, 13 Red Sox, 14.
Yeah, he made 2 relief appearances in the 2011 World Series. Pitched 10 innings against the Rangers. So.
Year of the Squirrel.
Is that what that was?
Well, I mean, that's, you remember, the Squirrel made its debut in, I think, the World Series, and there's been all these memes and all this crap. If they had memes back then, I don't know if you call them that then.
Yeah.
But no,
they
mean,
have memes.
It doesn't seem like, yeah, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But it's already been over 6 years.
Yeah, you know, time flies when you're having fun, right? So.
Or when you're old.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he, you know, pitched in eight postseason games in his career. He was 0-3, but his ERA was 3.62, so it was solid. Yeah, but yeah, he, you know, won a World Series. So, you know, he's got that, and he did finish. He did finish third in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2010. He lost out to Jason Hayward, finished second, and Buster Posey won the award that year, Dan. So he's in pretty good company. In case you didn't know, Starling Castro tied for fifth this year. I will gladly throw that out there. So, because he probably should have won it. He was better than Buster, wasn't he? Oh.
No. He was really good, though. I mean, that was a great rookie. That was a great rookie year class. At 2010.
Yeah, not too bad. But yeah, you know, just kind of. You know, one of those little side notes that we, you know, we come across because there's, you know, no big breaking, you know, Manny Machado or Bryce Harper news that we have to talk about.
No, and it kind of sucks, and I wish we'd get out of the way because then we'd see guys like Moose, we'll call him Moose Moustakis, Moustakis and, you know, all the other guys all kind of getting signed.
Yeah, now, you know, I heard the thing, I'm guessing you probably heard it too, but Moustakis has more or less come out and said that he's waiting for Machado to sign before he signs. Do you like this? Or, I mean, I'm a little worried he's going to run into the issue he ran into last year, and, you know, he's going to have to take an undervalued contract because, you know, he's sitting around waiting for Manny.
I mean, I don't really get it, especially since Manny wants to play shortstop, so I don't know how that works. But someone's going to need him, and I'll be right back in a couple minutes.
All right. So, yeah, because I just found it kind of interesting, because if you remember last year, you know, he ended up coming back to the Royals for, I believe it was $8 million. I'm going to go through and check my figures here, because they, you know, he turned down the qualifying offer last year, which would have been, I can't remember, Dan would know the figure, but it was, you know, 10 or 12 million or something. And he ended up signing with the Royals for 5.5 million is what he made last year. He did get the $1 million buyout from the Brewers. I don't know what the contract figure was, but I'm a little surprised the Brewers didn't hang on to him, because I'm sure it was probably pretty well priced. But I mean, even last year, combined with Milwaukee and KC, he hit .251 with 28 homers and 95 RBIs. 2017, he hit 38 bombs. So you know, you're getting a left-handed hitter with quite a bit of power here, and you know, you just wonder. I mean, there, you know, there's got to be a third base opening somewhere, you know, that he could step in and you know, fill for a contend, you know, not maybe not even a contender, but you know, a team right there on the brink or on, you know, on the edge. You know, you just got to kind of wonder if this is the best move, because, you know, same like if Machado doesn't sign with the Phillies don't need a third baseman. They have Mikel Franco. You know, they're looking at Machado as a shortstop. So there's not a spot for Moustakis there if Machado doesn't go there. It's not like they can just go, okay, well, we'll go get Moustakis and plug him into the spot we had Machado pegged for. So, yeah, you know, you kind of start looking around. I mean, humorously, as much as everybody else is, with the way Yankee Stadium plays in that short right field, he would be a fantastic fit for them. Of course, they have Miguel Andujar, who played pretty well at third base last year, and there's not really a spot for Moustakis in there. But, yeah, I mean, you look around and you wonder, does he get stuck with floating with a non-contender? I mean, Toronto could probably use him. I mean, I know they're planning on bringing Vlad Jr. up, but, you know, they could work that out. I mean, he would fit in Baltimore. The Royals could probably use him back. The White Sox would need him. Detroit does have Candelaria, so I don't know how the plug-in would work there. I know Cleveland is planning to go with – why am I going to draw a blank on his name, and I'm going to have to look it up here. Well, actually, no, they're going to move Ramirez back to third base is what the plan is right now, because I was trying to think they were going to go with one of the try to find a spot for one of their young. They got a prospect, I think, that is a third baseman, or maybe he's a shortstop. I can't remember. But yeah, obviously with Ramirez sitting there, you know, they're not going to be looking to add Moustakas. I mean, you get over to the West, maybe the Rangers. I mean, he would be a really good replacement for Adrian Beltre, you know, or at least a solid one. I don't know. Again, I got to check the Angels. I don't know off the top of my head who they're planning on going with. I know last year it was Zach Cozart, but he got hurt. So I don't know if he's still in the plans there or if they're going to move him back to the middle infield. Yeah, right now they have Cozart at third with David Fletcher at second. So that could easily change. You could bump Cozart back over to second, where he's been a middle infielder, and plug Moustakas in at third. That would give them another option there. I do find it interesting that they have this on multiple resources, they don't have a listed as a starter. But, you know, so maybe the Angels are a landing spot. I mean, the Mariners aren't going to pay him. The A's and the Astros don't need him. You know, you wonder, you know, I guess, you know, well, no, the Braves signed Donaldson for a year.
Yeah. Bless you. Oh.
One more time. Oh.
I would think whatever he's asking, he'd be out of range for the A's. Or not out of range, but I just don't think they'd pay it.
Well, that may have Matt Chapman anyways. He's not going to understand him. So, you know, but yeah, that's, you know, a quick trip through the American League. I mean, you get to the National League, and, you know, you got the Braves, the National Phillies, they're all you know, I guess the Mets, maybe. I mean, they do have Josh Frazier and Jeff McNeil, so that could get crowded. And then the Marlins, but the Marlins aren't going to pay. You get to the Central, and maybe the Cardinals. The Pirates aren't going to pay them. And they have Colin Moran, who they're trying to develop. The Reds are set. The Brewers have Travis Schoen. The Cubs have Christopher Bryant. So, St. Louis?
Not a bad spot. He gets to stay in Missouri.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that he moves to first?
You know, I think that could be a possibility. Actually, the Cardinals are starting third baseman right now. So, if we're going to go that way, no one moves back is. And then we jump into the rest quick. You wipe the Dodgers and the Rockies off the map because it's not taking Justin Turner or Nolan Arenado. The Diamondbacks could probably get him in, but they won't pay him. And that leaves the Giants who have Longoria. It looks like Aaron Donald yesterday. And the Padres right now are planning to play Will Myers. So, that's kind of an out. I just don't know if waiting is a good idea, and he's not going to have a landing spot.
I mean, I still don't see why they wouldn't move Myers to the outfield and put Moustakas in at third.
Yeah, I don't know why the Padres do a lot of things. I really do. Oh, you know, we kind of had that discussion yesterday. So. But you mentioned first base. He's actually played four games in his career at first base. So he doesn't have a ton of experience. Because that's what I was thinking. You know, the Yankees bring him in and make him their first baseman. So, imagine how many bombs he would hit with that 240 deal. You know, he'd probably be a 40-home guy.
I mean, they have, like, six young first basemen who all seem to get hurt or just don't live up to their potential.
Yeah. You know what I mean? As of right now, you know, the first base playing is Luke Voit. So you can't, I mean, nothing against Luke Voit. He had a really good year for him last year when he took over, but, you know, he's never been a full-time guy. And, you know, Moustakas would be an upgrade. You know, that, again, of course, if he can handle the position, which is, you know, obviously something we don't know. So.
Yeah, but not to be a smart ass. Does it really take that much anymore to play first base and everybody's trying to hit home runs?
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. It's all money ball.
I mean, you know, well, you know, when you think about Anthony Rizzo playing first base, he's a pretty solid first baseman. But if you go back even 15 years, the athleticism that came into the first baseman has completely changed. You don't see guys.
Oh yeah.
You know, going for almost into the splits or making those just amazing, spectacular plays at first base anymore.
Well, you know, first place.
You know,
first base used to be the place where, you know, where power hitters went to die. You know, that's
yeah.
where you went when your career ended, but you could still hit.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? I mean, there was a lot more happening 15 plus years ago that was getting more, you know, to the first baseman. And I'm not taking anything away from what Rizzo and, you know, the guys at first base do now, because I think a lot of what they do is, I don't want to say the accuracy has gotten a little better, but, you know, they're swatting at those balls and they're picking things out of the dirt that, you know, is next to impossible to pick up. So, but you know, the way it was 15 years ago, the position's completely changed. And if Moustakas was signed right now and went into camp, pitchers and catchers report February 1st and then they come in like 2 weeks later, and he had all that time to really kind of get a hold of that, get a feel for first base. I think he can come into the season and, you know, succeed at it.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I mean, also the fact, I'm sure they would be smart enough to keep a guy on the bench who could come in to play defense in late innings in close games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, something, you know, usable. So, yeah, I do wonder, you know, if that's something, you know, they could possibly do. I mean, obviously, we don't know, but, you know, yeah, it could be, you know, could be an interesting move. The Yankees are probably using another one of the bat, right? They're pretty heavy. So, yeah, you know, looking at their proposed lineup, which I believe is wrong, but Zach was too low in it. Brett Gardner is the only lefty, and Aaron Hicks is a switch hitter. Everybody else is left-handed. So we wouldn't want to have one more left-handed bat, man.
Well, to me, I think it would fit Cashman's MO for the last couple of seasons, as opposed to going with Machado,
yeah.
Even though, you know, there's an article out there at MLB.com on why the Yankees are crazy, or I forgot the title, but why they'd be missing out if they didn't sign Machado.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I can understand that. I mean, there's no way the Yankees go into the season with Troy Tulowitzki as their starting shortstop. There's probably a better than average chance that he's not going to be healthy. You know, I mean, we know they say he is now, he has workouts and all that fun stuff, but Tulowitzki we're talking about. And, you know, I think we all know better than that. So, you know, I won't be surprised if they make a if not have a quality backup there. You know, they just have him coming off the bench or something like that, because, you know, this is a contending team, and, you know, Dini's not due back. I think it was predicted. What did I see? Oh, now, yeah, they're saying June, so July. He's going to miss half the season. So, yeah, I don't know.
That does change my perspective, because I thought it was early May, the original report.
Yeah, well, you're going to figure out what you're going to pay for when I nominate him in the auction league. So,
yeah, well, you're going to pay for anyone you bid on, because I'm going to bid you up.
Yeah, but you don't know who I'm going after. So,
All Seattle players.
Yeah, like I want that this year. who are we taking there? Is that target going to be their player?
Hey, Gordon.
I need a Malik Smith. Dave, you're going to pick me up on Dave Ruth? Now, did you see, they've got that wonderful talk, like they're going to Japan for a two-game series on March 20th and 21st. Did you see that they plan on having Ichiro on the roster for those two games?
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I just wonder, what do they do then? Does he go back to being a special assistant to the general manager, or,
I don't understand the expanded time frame in between the original, regular opening season. It's not like Japan's on another planet. I mean, you're taking two West Coast teams, flying, 8 hours? It's not.
That's the weird thing. It's like, you have two teams, let them open at home after that, and you don't have to worry about it. It's like flying to New York.
Well, I think it's a little longer, but, I mean, my dad said it was 4 hours to Hawaii from L.A.
Yeah.
I could be wrong,
it's not a killer trip where you need a week off to recover.
No. That must be something the players' union worked out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, just one of those things. So, but yeah, I still think I'll wait and start our season. Maybe I'll count those two games. I'll have to look when the damn thing sets up for us. Just kind of makes me goofy. It's not like we're putting a team in Japan anytime soon.
Now they haven't improved. Boeing hasn't gotten that good yet.
Yes. Oh, so now don't forget, it is Wednesday, but a reminder, remember we have playoff games on Saturday and Sunday again. So.
Oh, I already put my picks in.
Okay. I just got Stu's today. So I didn't want you to forget and be like, wait, what? There's games? What are you talking about? So.
Yeah. No, don't worry. You guys are all going to pick the losers and I'm going to pick all the winners.
Yeah, well, sadly, you were about the only one who could pick the winners last week. I mean, at least I managed to get half the games right, but, just kind of,
Yeah, I know it's early, but, halfway there. But I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going against the Patriots, even though I think picked them to win the Super Bowl. I'm assuming.
And I both had the Vikings.
You what?
You and I both had the Vikings beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Oh, well, that one's out the window. Don't even bring that up again. What a disappointment. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to assume that at least Schomburg Stu and Mr. Fantasy are going to go with the Patriots. You're always kind of the wild card. But can never know what you're thinking. But no, I mean,
never.
I wanted to do that. Well, hopefully, if I go in there, if I go in there on Saturday after Bill, Mr. Fantasy texts us and we all have the Chargers, I think I'm going to put it to the Patriots. So.
No, I can tell you that Schomburg Stu has taken the Patriots. So you're okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I figured I got to throw one pick that's got to be kind of the one that's going against everyone's predictions, and not just, you know, the three, you know, the four of us, but what I've seen on, you know, Bing, and then I saw a couple other places, you know, that had their odds. So I just figured it would be just a little different to go with the Chargers. I kind of feel like they'll do it. You know, not that I'm one of those, oh, I hate the Patriots and I'm tired of seeing them. I'm not really that guy. But at the same token, I mean, I just feel like they don't really have all this greatness on their team this year.
Yeah, no, they've had a, you know, kind of a, you know, well, still a good year, but not what you thought would be a Patriot type of year.
No. Well, I think what came to my mind, though, is that loss to the Dolphins.
Here's how bright you and I are, Dan. In the NFC, I had the Vikings beating the Packers in the championship game. You had the Vikings beating the Panthers. In the AFC, I had the Patriots beating the Jaguars, and you had the Patriots beating the Titans. So at least both of your teams got in the playoffs. The Jaguars didn't even come close.
They shouldn't have benched Bortles.
Nope. never should have sat Blake down, but, you know.
Nope.
And sadly, I know Spetty put his picks in, but they never came through, so we were unable to get his, and then Mr. Fantasy didn't bother to make any, so.
I missed. Who? Oh, yeah. Well, Summer Stu doesn't seem to do the whole playoffs. He just does, like, the regular season and the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think we confuse him sometimes with as much as we ask to fill out. So, you know, I just think it's one of those, you know, what we get to him sometimes. And, you know, we'll get him there. You know, he'll figure it out one of these days. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, you know, I've been kind of rooting for the Chargers, but, man, it's a tough week to pick them. You know, it's going to be winter in New England. You know, it's not going to be one of those 30 or 40-degree days. It's going to be like 10 or 15, and, you know, they are a West Coast team after all. So, but I would love to see them win. I really would. Like I said, I've kind of been rooting for them, but I haven't decided if I've got the Canucks to pick them yet. It's going to be one of those last minute. Just be kind of like, So.
And I think for me, the one that's going to hurt the most is if the Colts beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, that's probably hurt a lot of people, not just you. I know a lot of people are picking in that game. So.
I mean, we know one guy who's not picking the Chiefs, but.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just kind of, I mean, that's every race, but, you know, that's how it goes. Well, all right, well, music is fine for the animal to stay fast, but hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it one more time for you. While we're doing it, we'd love to do it on mobilefarmradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up over there. And follow that link over to the Facebook page to give that a like. But don't forget to support me if you're checking out the mobile radio. Well, that would be cool if you did that. But it's always good if you come on and listen to us live and continue to chat. Remember, the podcast is available for you to go listen to any time you want to over at TuneIn.com.